The girl looked like she was in the process of thinking up an answer when the speaker in the ceiling clacked, and the big nurse's voice told McMurphy if he wanted to talk with his lady friend, it'd be better if she signed in properly at the main door instead of disturbing the whole hospital. The girl left the screen and started toward the main entrance, and McMurphy left the screen and flopped down in a chair in the corner, his head hanging. "Hell's bells," he said. The least black boy let the girl onto the ward and forgot to lock the door behind her. Caught hell for it later, I bet. And the girl came jouncing up the hall past the nurse's station, where all the nurses were trying to freeze her bounce with a united icy look, and into the day room just a few steps ahead of the doctor. He was going toward the nurse's station with some papers, looked at her and back at the papers and back at her again, and went to fumbling after his glasses with both hands. She stopped when she got to the middle of the day room floor and saw she was circled by 40 staring men in green, and it was so quiet you could hear bellies growling and all along the chronic row hear the catheters popping off. She had to stand there a minute while she looked around to find McMurphy, so everybody got a long look at her. There was a blue smoke hung near the ceiling over her head. I think apparatus burned out all over the ward trying to adjust to her come busting in like she did. Took electronic readings on her and calculated they weren't built to handle something like this on the ward, and just burned out like machines committing suicide. She had on a white t-shirt like McMurphy's, only a lot smaller. White tennis shoes and Levi pants snipped off above her knees to give her feet circulation. And it didn't look like that was near enough material to go around, considering what it had to cover. She must have been seen with lots less by lots more men, but under the circumstances she began to fidget around self-consciously like a schoolgirl on a stage. Nobody spoke while they looked. Martini did whisper that she could read the dates of the coins in her Levi pockets, they were so tight, but he was closer and could see better than the rest of us. Billy Bibbit was the first one to say something out loud. Not really a word, just a low, almost painful whistle that described how she looked better than anybody else could have. She laughed and thanked him very much, and he blushed so red that she blushed with him and laughed again. This broke things into movement. All the acutes were coming across the floor trying to talk to her at once. The doctor was pulling on Harding's coat, asking, "Who is this?" McMurphy got up out of his chair and walked through the crowd to her, and when she saw him, she threw her arms around him and said, "You damned McMurphy," and then got embarrassed and blushed again. When she blushed, she didn't look more than 16 or 17, I swear she didn't. McMurphy introduced her around, and she shook everybody's hand. When she got to Billy, she thanked him again for his whistle. The big nurse came sliding out of the station, smiling, and asked McMurphy how he intended to get all 10 of us in one car. And he asked, could he maybe borrow a staff car and drive a load himself, and the nurse cited a rule forbidding this, just like everyone knew she would.